soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. They hurt you at home and they hit you at school. They hate you if you're clever and they despise a fool. Till you're so fucking crazy you can't follow their rules. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. When they've tortured and scared you for 20-odd years, then they expect you to pick a career. When you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Keep you doped with religion and sex and TV. And you think you're so clever and classless and free. But you're still fucking peasants as far as I can see. A working class hero is something to be. Working class hero is something to be. There's room at the top, they are telling you still. But first you must learn how to smile as you kill. If you want to be like the folk on the hill. Working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger. In the heartland, in the bunker. Right here in north central Indiana, transmitting to the world and all the ships at sea. And all the satellites up in the sky, baby. Yeah, we got the wolf calls going. Have you heard the wolf call in your community? If you have a CB radio, we'll put the wolf call on. Get them howling everywhere around the country on Channel 5. Yeah, right. Yeah. P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And address your mail to occupant, box holder, Tom Metzger, insurgent, or whatever yanks your crank, baby. Yeah. Good morning. Good day, good afternoon, or whenever the hell it is. It's Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger back with you, and it's January the 27th, 2014, Moon's Day. Boy, oh boy, I'm telling you. Remember Little Abner? Some of you people might remember him in the comics. They had a place called Lower Slobovia. And boy, I'll tell you, that was colder than a well digger's heel. And that's what we got here. And there's not going to be any snow melting very soon, the way it looks for our projected temperature. So get used to the vortex, baby. Get used to the vortex. I see one of the fastest growing states in the union is still Florida. Boy, if that isn't going to be a powder keg ready to go. They got South Americans and Cubans and Jamaicans and Haitians and Negro Americans and white working class and rich Jews and everything pouring into Florida. That's chemistry that's set to blow someday, that's for sure. If the island don't sink, if the peninsula doesn't sink in the meantime, man. It's just sitting on a big piece of coral down there. Well, let's kick it off by getting into a little bit of economics this morning. New unemployment claims remained steady last week, suggesting that the post-holiday business activity remains on an even keel. Wall Street, on the other hand, saw the mixed fourth quarter profits reports to investors as a signal to sell. Not that what Wall Street does really matters, unless you're foolish enough to have your retirement investment there. Silly boy. Speaking of foolish investments, the gold bugs are all excited about the big jump in gold prices to $1,262 an ounce. And they'll be happy to sell you some. You'd think they'd hang on to their gold if any of the things they tell you about the imminent collapse of the U.S. dollar were actually true. Gold analysts that actually have a reputation to preserve are quite bearish on metal, saying not to buy until it hits $900 an ounce or less. The last time it peaked in 1982 at $800 an ounce. The price continued to decline for 20 years. It would need to be $2,400 an ounce to match the 1980 price if you adjust for inflation. Gold is a commodity. It will never be used for money again. Even when they used gold for money, they stamped the value on it. Using gold just made counterfeiting hard to do. Today, almost all the money only exists as digits in a computer. Bitcoin tries to do the same thing, but without a government to back it. Eventually, it will go to zero. You'll know this is about to happen when your online drug dealer stops accepting bitcoins as payment. Well, that's interesting. A lot of people pushing Bitcoin, but this particular information says no. It's going to tank one of these days. Well, I don't know. Oh, yes, and Jesus Christ's representative on earth, the baby Jesus, the Pope, has cleaned house at the Vatican Bank. This was an unusual wholesale purge as his predecessor's appointments. He sacked all but one of the cardinals in charge of banking, even though they had all been reappointed by the last Pope just before he left town. Messing with bankers isn't something popes have been known to do in the past. Apparently, he has a death wish. Yeah, I can't believe that those high-ranking Christians and representatives of the Bay, but Jesus would run off with the money. I can't understand that. Republicans have postponed the first plank of their 2000 campaign platform, the repeal of the law closing the overseas tax havens that the billionaires used. The act passed in early 2010 has been repeatedly delayed in implementation and might go into effect by the end of this year. Republicans are adamant that this won't happen despite the $300 billion annual cost to us poor people. Yeah, tax slaves. And probably we'll try to get it further delayed or crippled, of course, because the Republican Party always serves the super rich and always will until they're destroyed and become the Whig Party of yesterday. yesteryear. The Democrats aren't far behind, that's for sure. Billionaires have made off with trillions over the years this way, so you can see why the fiscal conservatives want to keep from plugging this drain. Oh, boy. All that blood in the gutter and me without a spoon, mother used to say. Here's a comment, a comment on what I just told you. Here's a puzzler. What if one of those offshore island tax havens suddenly gets hit by a giant tsunami, wiping out all traces of human habitation? People, cars, laptops, banks swept out to sea, never to be seen again. Is the money in those banks considered lost, or does it really matter since it's just digits existing in a computer somewhere? Answer, the offshore banking is actually managed from offices in New York. The island only serves as a place to have a P.O. box, man. Now, I've had this book in my library for quite some time called Gods of the Dawn, Messages of the Pyramids, and by Peter Lesmieter. Well, it's a very complicated book, as a lot of people have made the pyramids very complex, and I guess being all things to all men. But I've always been a little bit interested in the pyramids because one of my relatives was an Egyptologist and worked on the pyramids. His name was Sir Flanders Petrie from England. And if you go back and check his history out, you'll find he's all over Egyptology. But I noticed one little thing as I was trying to go through this book. They were talking about the pyramids giving an idea of what's coming. And I'm not going to go into the complicated formula, but anyhow, it said starting, let's see, this is 2014, said starting about 2010 to 2016, things are going to get real flaky in the world. Well, I'm telling you, they're getting real flaky right now, so it's right on time. Every country in the world's got revolution and civil war going on almost, and it's just a matter of time until it might even break out here. So anyhow, well, one thing about the pyramids, that's probably the oldest thing in this world that may give us a clue to what the hell's going on. Of course, there's a lot of, and build out of stone, they couldn't destroy it. I'm sure there were a lot of truth and built all over the place in Europe. And, of course, you had the Stonehenge and all that. But, I mean, most buildings were made of wood, and they fell by the wayside and so forth. But, anyhow, and then when the Christians so lovingly destroyed the libraries at Alexandria, if those had not been destroyed, we'd be way off into the future, doing pretty good, probably. Anyhow, I was just mentioning that this 3 or 4 year period here that talked about interpreting the pyramids, it was going to be rough times in the old world. Of course, the clock's right twice a day, too, so that's no big deal, maybe. I don't know whether you realize it or have been following it, but finally, it seems like quite a percentage of the Brits have discovered what a mess they're in, and then large percentage are not even turning out to vote, which is a good sign. If you have no confidence in voting, then you're pretty sharp. But anyhow, it's showing them in the streets now. But you know, in the streets is all mixed up, all these races. You got Arab Englishmen and Nigger Englishmen and Chinese Englishmen and you name it. And now they're even worried about Romanians. Why are they worried about Romanians when they got all this other sludge and mud all over the place? And half of these newcomers are on the dole getting welfare. I mean, you know, how long? It seems like it's taken forever for some Brits to wake up. But the people making the most noise in the street, guess what? They're non-white. They're non-white, so. Oh, I don't know what could save England. I don't know what could save that country. Well, it's not going to go away. It'll just be totally inhabited by mud people. Yeah, so that's where it'll go. And I don't know where the white people are going to go. Maybe they'll have to immigrate to the Caribbean and take the place of the niggers that went to England. But sure as hell, if a massive number of white people did move back to these islands and Caribbean and so forth and started rebuilding the countries up into formidable countries, the niggers would get back on a boat or a plane and go back to the Caribbean. They follow us everywhere we go. You can't escape them. I mean, we could go, all the white people could go to the moon, and it wouldn't be long until there would be a spaceship loaded with niggers following right behind. Wait on us, Maza. Wait on us, Maza. And, of course, it would thrill the white people on the first spaceship because, oh, goddamn, we almost forgot the cheap labor. I'm glad they're sending us a rocket ship full of niggers up here to do our dirty work. Well, are the rich getting prepared for their comeuppance? How about this? Wealthy venture capitalist Tom Perkins provided the internet crowd with its weekend lulls via his Wall Street Journal op-ed, Progressive Kristallnacht Coming, in which he compared the hatred directed towards the 1%, oh, they wouldn't do that, would they? Especially around Silicon Valley, to that directed at the Jews in Nazi Germany. Bloomberg contacted Perkins over the weekend and gave him a chance to maybe dial his comparison down a notch or two, only to find out, nope, he's sticking with the Nazi analogy. Quote, in the Nazi era, it was racial demonization. Now it's class demonization. Yeah, you catch on fast, don't you, you prick? He wrote to Bloomberg in an email. Perkins was apparently rattled by the Occupy Wall Street movement. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet, Perkins. Teachers of which he's seen in the demonstrators in and around San Francisco against dotcom companies driving up house prices. Perkins' company distanced itself from him on Saturday. His own company distanced themselves from him. So Kleiner Perkins, the parent company, was quoted as saying, Tom Perkins has not been involved in KPCB in years. We were shocked by his views expressed today in the Wall Street Journal and do not agree. Well, I think he made a pretty good analogy. Yeah, it's the 1% are never going to stop screwing everybody else until they physically are gone after. It's just too much, there's too much greed there. And so something has to give. And I've predicted over and over and over again with my crystal ball, it starts with the economy and moves to race and tribalism, religion, and other things. But it starts with economics. Well, now we're going to get to one of my favorite parts of the show, the part where I offend people. Now, if you're a she-wolf, you understand this, and you're not going to be offended. But if you're run-of-the-mill white woman in this country today, you're going to be offended. But you need to be offended. So here we go. Get your offensive, retardant clothes on.
Today I'm going to bring up an issue again that I've talked about numerous times in my other videos, but I want to highlight the, a pretty clear example of what I'm talking about. I saw a documentary, and it's really not that bad of a documentary. I put it in a link box, and it's titled "Body of War," in which a veteran of the war in Iraq returns home after being, I think in his first week of combat, shot and paralyzed from the neck down, I believe. So he comes back home and he's, you know, after they give him his Purple Heart and, you know, everybody feels sympathy for him and whatever. They give him his Purple Heart. He returns home and his then girlfriend decides, oh, you know, let's do something romantic. I'm going to marry him. I'm going to marry him now. You know, I guess she felt some temporary pride in the sacrifice he made for his country, which is bullshit, and I'll get into that later. You know, I advise men to stop sacrificing yourself for your country, because your country doesn't give a shit about you, to be frank. But let me continue on. So she marries him, and you can almost see a progression from the role of wife to a cheating slut as the documentary goes by. You know, there's a lot that's not being said in the documentary, but you can put two and two together just by watching it. In the beginning, she plays the role of the doting, caring wife, and once she realizes, oh, this is going to be a lot of hard work, you know, and I'm not going to be getting sex, she actually complains. She has the nerve to complain that, you know, after marrying, voluntarily marrying a man who was paralyzed, that she's not getting enough sex. She actually says that in the movie. She says, I think we've had sex 5 times since we've been married. Well, what the hell do you think? What did you think that was going to happen? Do you think he's going to, you know, pounce out of that chair like a virile tiger and bend you over the rails or something? I mean, what the hell did you think was going to happen? But whatever, I'm going off on a tangent. Let me continue. So probably approaching the middle of the documentary, she gets this job at a bar, and so you already know where this is headed, right? She gets this job at a bar, and all of a sudden, you know, well, I think she was a bartender or something. So all of a sudden, she's getting all this attention from guys who frequent bars. What a surprise. And here her husband is home paralyzed. And all of a sudden, you see a change in her around the middle of the video. From the beginning to around the middle, she was always kind of depressed and you know, kind of down on herself or whatever. In the middle of the video, you start to see this change because, well, she's getting some attention from other men outside of the bar, which she's already has it in her mind that she's going to cheat. Towards the end of the documentary, you see this. I mean, if I were to show you the girl right in the beginning and right in the end, in the final interview, because they do end up getting divorced. Surprise, surprise, by the way. I'm sorry. It's just amazing how men just continue to fall for this stupid patriotic crap. You know, when they have these tributes to the soldiers, you know, these people, and they go up to these soldiers that they don't even know, and they're like, oh, I just want to thank you for everything that you do to protect us. And I'm just like, you fake-ass, sanctimonious, self-gratifying piece of shit, man. They don't give a shit about that soldier. They don't care about him. They just want to fill their own patriotic quota for the day so that they can feel good about themselves. Americans are some of the most, Americans and patriotism is like a crackhead and crack. When they talk about patriotism, their eyes get glazed over, all sense goes out the window, and they just, you know, they get this look on their face like they're under this euphoria. They feel so good about talking about the fact that we're sending our soldiers away to go shoot people. And that's what it is. You know, our soldiers are at this point are nothing more than hired guns, mercenaries. You know, we're not fighting for any just cause. But whatever. I'm not going to give you a breakdown on my thoughts on Iraq and Afghanistan. Back to the story. Towards the end of the documentary, we see that they are divorced or, you know, split up or whatever. And they're interviewing her. I guess it's the final interview of the documentary. And she's all wearing all this makeup, you know, eyeshadow. Her body language has changed. Everything that she does, you know, even in the simple mannerisms, reflect a bitch in heat. And I'm not going to put it any other way. I'm going to call her what she is, a bitch in heat. This is the thanks that you get, men, for fighting for your country. A woman that ends up cheating on you, draining your bank account, and you come back, and, you know, America doesn't give a shit about you. It already got what it wants. You know, either your blood or somebody else's blood at the business end of your military-issued rifle. So this video, I guess, is just me telling men once again to absolutely and 100% reject the militaries of the West, boycott them, show them what you really feel about them. I mean, we are not pieces of meat that can be shuffled across a chessboard for the interests of people that we would probably never even know or meet, and people that don't care about our lives. We are not disposable any longer. and I'm just reiterating this. You know, stop fighting for your country. You know, fuck your country. I mean, I'm going to just say that right now. Fuck your country. Your country doesn't give a shit about you. This is the point that I'm trying to hammer home. It's not about being anti-American, because truth be told, I don't give a shit if you're in the UK. I don't give a shit if you're here in the States or in any other country. Refuse to fight. Refuse to fight. The only time that you should fight is when you have to defend yourself, you know. And I'm all for self-defense. I'm all for male self-defense in every regard. You know, I'm all for people being armed, so that if anybody fucks with you, you can just shoot them and kill them. You know, I mean, if anybody fucks with you, as in taking away your rights, infringing upon any of your rights, then you shoot them, and that's it. But fighting for your country, nah, fuck that shit. There is nothing that men gain and benefit from it. Let them start putting the feminists on the front lines. I mean, your military gets all up in arms about the fact that, you know, you have don't ask, don't tell. Well, you know, I mean, you don't see them getting into a frenzy over the fact that military wives have been screwing over their husbands with impunity for the last 60 years. You know, nothing said about that. You know, but they can bend over backwards for don't ask, don't tell. You know, these people. You know, why do you have such a high concentration of military veterans that are homeless? Why? Well, because after you do what you do, nobody gives a shit. And first and foremost, let me say this. As a man, what do you think, as a man, why do you believe that you should be entitled to anything for going and listening blindly to the orders of a government that has historically averaged a major war about every 10 years? Why do you think that you should be rewarded for that? This is what our society does. It accepts certain evils and even glorifies them. This is the same thing that happens with abortion. Anybody who actually examines the issue of abortion knows that on some level it's wrong, even instinctively. But because our society refuses to take women to account, this is a massive evil that our society tolerates, because nobody wants to approach or confront the very uncomfortable notion that women are wrong. It's the same thing with military service. Nobody wants to approach and say what we all know, is that these wars are bullshit and we are busy extinguishing men in massive numbers for reasons that nobody can accurately pin down and identify. Everybody has a different reason why we're fighting these wars. None of them are correct, and most of them are filled with indoctrination and bullshit. It's time that men let go of this romance that we have, this fetish that we have of glorifying war and death and destruction. Now, there's nothing, like I said, there's nothing wrong with defending yourself, but your country, no. A fundamental change is required in how we view our relationship with our country. That's all I got to say about it for now.
Well, that's pretty much what I've been saying ever since the Vietnam War. I supported the war till halfway through the war, and then I could see what a joke it was, sick joke, and I refused to pay my income taxes as my little bit against the damn war. And I've been against these wars ever since, to the chagrin of a lot of the right wing that were voting for Ronald Reagan when I was saying Ronald Reagan was an asshole. And he was an asshole. They didn't know. They believed what they saw on the General Electric Theater instead of what he was really doing and what he was really made of. You probably don't remember Operation Garden Plot, him and Ed Meese, his attorney general, put together, which was a forerunner to the Patriot Act. And it was really against the people who had gripes, and they'd wipe them out. And the Indians, they practiced it, they tried it out on the Indians up there where Leonard Peltier and all those guys were. So it worked up there, and so they began to expand it. That was Ronald Reagan, war criminal. The only place where I disagree somewhat, and I'd probably, if this fellow and I could talk, is that one of the big problems is I don't think that the average wife or girlfriend of a young guy is coaxing him and encouraging him to go into the military. I think that the average wife and girlfriend would want him to stay home, even if he had to flip hamburgers. You know, that excuse, "I can't get a job, so I'm going into the military," as far as I'm concerned, doesn't hold water, unless you're completely a moron. So, based on that, these women, they got kids and everything, and the guy, "Oh, well, I'm going to go defend my country, goddamn," you know. And off he goes, looking for excitement, just like the British sailors used to do on the merchant's fleet. They'd be home for a while, and then they'd get antsy feet and get tired of helping take care of the kids and doing things they should be doing at home. So they jump on a ship and take off for a few months. Yeah. So I don't think we should be quite so hard on the girlfriends and so forth. I think parents are more likely to say, "Oh, yeah, you're a very patriotic guy. I was in World War II and I killed all those Germans. Yeah, I was in those goddamn bombers, the pattern bombing the civilian population of Germany and other countries." Yeah. So anyhow, that's otherwise, I think it's a very good thing. And there are women like that, sure. There's a lot of women like that. But if you didn't go, get suckered into the game by watching all this crap and these recruiters come around, you wouldn't have this problem. You know, Fox TV runs all the time, and I don't watch Fox very much, but once in a while I watch the 5 in the evening. It's sort of funny, really. But anyhow, they've got this Wounded Warriors thing, always advertising. I get so goddamn fed up. I hate that ad where they parade all these guys that have been screwed up over in Iraq or Afghanistan. They show how wonderful it is. They've got new legs made out of metal. Isn't that great? And showing the kids leading their daddies around that are all fucked up in the brain. I just want to throw something through the TV screen every time that ad comes on. "Our wounded warriors, oh, how wonderful." God, I hate this system. That's why we have to be on our own. On our own, our lone wolf own. taking care of our own situation. And your family, if they go along with you. And a few other friends, comrades in arms, that you know you could probably depend on. But I'll tell you one thing, if anybody that claims to be white racial and so-called warrior or what, if they screw us over one time, they're gone. You've got to get rid of them. These people will say, "Oh, I'm for the white race, I'm for the white race." And the minute they get arrested or something or questioned, they fold like a cheap accordion. It's unbelievable how cowardly and hypocritical many of these young men and older people too. They can go for years claiming how brave they are and how they won't take any shit from the government or anything else, and they could take me away, they take my gun out of my cold dead hand, all that bullshit the right wing spins. But the minute a Fed or anybody shows up at their door, they fold. And then they say, "Oh," and I say, "Well, I taught you 14-5 words for 25 years. What happened?" "Well, I didn't quite understand." Or they call you before a grand jury. So what? Take the Fifth. And they get in there. I remember one grand jury, federal grand jury. They subpoenaed several of my lone wolf friends in, and all of us took the Fifth, and we were out of there in 5 minutes. One guy didn't, and he talked for hours, I guess. And we never talked to him again. He was totally rejected from then on in. You never let these people come back. Don't let them say, "I'm sorry." There is no sorry. It's over. It's over. Suppose the next time that silly son of a bitch may cost you your life. Could cost you your life. You're lucky if he only screws you a little bit like that. Because when the big number comes down, it could cost you your life. Sometimes I find myself giving too much sympathy and giving somebody once in a while a second chance. Every time I have, it's come back to haunt me. Going overboard on this Leaf thing. I can see it all over again. Metzger, what the hell's the matter with you? You shouldn't got involved. You shouldn't be involved. And look what happened. Here's this guy claimed his undying loyalty. I believe everything you say. I've worshipped you for years. All that happy horse shit. The first they charge him with seven law infringements, and he folds like a cheap goddamn banjo. I mean, got to stay away from people like that. You're better off not to have anybody around you than have people that are cowardly and like that. And the problem is, you don't know many times until it's too late. That's why lone wolf works best. Stay away from people. Be extremely careful of who you're dealing with. And I know as sure as hell, what I'm saying is, there are people out there saying, well, that Metzger, he's just getting old and crotchety, and he don't like nobody, he hates everybody. And we know there's some good people out there, and blah, blah. And our country ain't that bad yet, and this government, yeah, it just needs a little tweaking with more, you know, if we all get out there and vote for Republican, well, we can straighten this mess out. Bullshit. It's too far gone. It's been too far gone for 40 years, maybe longer than that. Now, I know that first one I ran is probably going to run off some people. I don't think so. Not so much of my close-in friends, because they've heard me saying this for years. It's nothing new to them. I thought that this guy did a better job in many cases of putting it forth. But here's another one, and this is on the women again. And I have preached this till I was blue in the face, that if you see a white whore along the street getting beat up by her nigger pimp, don't get involved. Don't get involved with these things. If you're in a bar and some white guy's beating on his white girlfriend, don't get involved. Lone wolves cannot afford to get involved with this kind of stuff. And so I'm going to play the second clip, which if the first clip didn't piss your ass off, probably this one will. And if it doesn't piss you off, it means you've been listening to me for a long time.
I used to waste time at bars and clubs on occasion. You know, I was about 22, 23 at the time. And even then I was kind of iffy on going to clubs. I was just boring of them and getting tired of them. But my friend dragged me out and told me I need to get out, blah, blah, blah. So you know, we went, we had a good time, and we were leaving. And out of the blue, it was like eight guys that came out and for no reason just attacked us. I mean, no provocation. They didn't try to take any money. And to this day, I don't know exactly what they wanted, but my best guess is that they were trying to impress the females that they were with, because, you know, we were fighting these guys for maybe like a minute or two, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're getting jumped, trust me, it's a lot. I assure you, it felt like forever. But the only reason they stopped was one of the girls that they were with actually ordered them to. When maybe a minute or two had passed by, they were like, stop, 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 you know, because they could see things were getting serious. So then they kind of just ran away. No cops were called, you know, and this happened in like plain sight. People were watching this go down. Nobody called the cops. Nobody tried to help. It was just me and my friend fighting eight guys, which meant for each of us, we had four people to deal with. Which meant for each punch we landed, which wasn't very many, you know, when you're getting jumped, for each punch that we landed, we received like three or four back. So when all was said and done, we both had black eyes and and busted lips and bleeding noses. It just wasn't a fun experience. But you know what? It taught me something. It taught me that next time I'm not going to get caught off guard like that. It taught me, well, you know, that was one of the catalysts for me to not waste time in clubs and bars anymore with a bunch of pussy-whipped men that need to show off for women. But it also taught me, don't get caught off guard like that again. And from there on out, I made sure that if I ever get put in that situation again, that there's going to be repercussions. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And today I regard the whole incident as a pretty valuable learning experience, because it taught me the importance of self-defense. People will want to commit acts of violence against you for reasons even as trivial as impressing some girl that they're with. You know, it's just how it works. And so I took it upon myself to make sure that I'm defended at all times. With that said, it brings me to an article I just read from the Huffington Post, and I put it in the link. And this article is basically some feminist women speaking about how men have to defend women from street harassment and rape. Let me read to you exactly how the section of the article that I'm examining here starts out. And it says, and I quote, "I'm happy that conversations with this young woman center on things she can do rather than the usual tips on what she should not do, like not walk alone or dress provocatively or be out too late." And then it goes on to say, but we need to shift the focus here to how to get men to stop raping and harassing women, end quote. So, with that said, once again, I was jumped. I didn't look to anybody to feel sorry for me. I didn't look to anybody to pass laws to give me more protection than everybody else. I took it upon myself to make sure that I protect myself. From there on out, I told myself I need to protect me. Yet in this supposedly equal society where women are independent and women can do whatever men can do, they still feel the need to insist that it's men's responsibility to protect them. The article continues. It says, right now most women walk the streets like soldiers, alert to whoever is around them. We need men to pay the same kind of attention and then to intervene when they see someone talking or acting out of line. And they need to say, that's not how we treat our sisters in this neighborhood or this town or this state or this nation. Good idea for them to have a buddy or two along to help reinforce the message. You know what? I got physically attacked and nobody called the cops. Nobody decided, oh, here's this guy getting the crap kicked out of him and his friend. We're going to call the cops. And you know what else didn't happen? Not a single woman, and you know, this was on the strip, you know, people could see what was happening. Not a single woman or even a single guy came to help. But more specifically, not a single woman came to help. And that is the norm. That is the norm throughout society, that if women see a man getting attacked, they will run the other way. That's the norm. That's the status quo. Women will not risk themselves for the well-being of another man, especially one they don't know. So why do women feel that it is their right to conscript men into this unofficial, ever-present security force in which every man should run around just waiting like some kind of superhero to rescue women from being attacked? In a society where both men and women are equal, why should one deserve protection, physical protection, more than the other? Do you think that is your right? Do you think men are your possessions, that you have the right to tell them who they have to defend? Do you think that you're deserving more of defense than men? Why aren't you asking for a group of women to patrol your neighborhood so that you feel safe? Are they not just as capable as men? This is the type of misogyny that men are begging to be victims of, because it makes them feel like men, like real men. Well, I call bullshit. And I'm not defending you or any other female from shit. This is the attitude that men must have. Stop defending women, your equals in this society. You see two men fighting? How many men are jumping in to beat the crap out of the guy who started it? You don't see that happen. So let women handle themselves on their own. I'm saying, for the world to hear, right here on YouTube, that I will not step in to defend women in any way, any shape or form, for any reason. You're on your own. Just like I was on my own, you're on your own. Deal with it. And to the men listening to this, I assure you that none of these women will step in to help you. None of these women that don't know you care about you. And as a matter of fact, they're perfectly fine with you getting stabbed or shot or killed in order to save them. They're perfectly fine with that because they see you as a disposable bodyguard and they don't give a shit about you. That's what you need to understand. This isn't about hating women. This is about the fact that they don't give a shit about you and your well-being at all, period. They can say it here on YouTube, but I'm telling you, if you end up getting jumped by 8 guys or 4 guys or whatever, not a single one of them is going to step in to help you. So be advised. Be advised that this is how women see you, as their personal bodyguards. You're expected to dive in front of the proverbial bullet for them, and they will not do the same for you. I assure you, if you've listened to anything on any of my videos, take that into account, that not a single one of them will help you in your time of need. Not a single one of them will risk self-injury to help you. Not a single one of them do this. You can even look in the military. You know, how come all those flag draped caskets are all male? Because not a single one of these women will risk themselves. They'd rather get pregnant to avoid deployment. They'd rather let men take the risk because they see themselves as above men. This is what feminism has created, female supremacism. And female supremacism shows itself in a variety of ways, one of which being that females think that they are more entitled to avoid risk than you are just because you're a man. And they will happily let you die for them. And why would you want to defend somebody like that? Do exceptions exist? Sure. I mean, you know, there's the anomaly. Some women will try to defend you. But let's be honest here. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, most women would not step in and save you from shit. You're on your own. So women, I want you to know that there exist men in this world, men like me, that are telling you straight up, for everybody to hear, that we are not interested in defending you from anything, and that in an equal society, you're responsible for your own defense, and that we are just as harmed from knife wounds and bullet wounds and getting punched in the face and all that. We are just as prone. It hurts us just as much. So we're going to be worried about protecting ourselves now, and you can go ahead and protect yourself, and that's it. There will no longer be any men, well, you know, let me correct that. There are going to be white knights and manginas that are convinced they're doing the right thing, being a real man, stepping in front of bullets for you, but there's just going to be less and less as this idea catches on. And you got to understand, women, that this idea will catch on. And the reason it will catch on is because the moment you force this whole equality nonsense onto society, this fake equality, it was also the moment that we were going to start treating you like equals. And, you know, you're getting what you asked for. So I got to say on the subject.
Well, I haven't kept close count, but there have been literally dozens, and I know there's been a hell of a lot more than that, of racial men. There were good racial men and skinheads that got themselves into a mess in a bar or on the street, going to champion a woman's rights who's not even one of their women. I mean, it's one thing the skinheads and their girlfriends sticking together fighting as a team, but it's another to go out there and stick your neck out for these other sheep. And so there's dozens and dozens of people doing real hard time, because you know what's going to happen when you get involved in that kind of stuff? Oh, you may still get an all-white jury, and you'll click your heels and say, whoa, that's wonderful. I'll beat it now. Believe me, it's those white people that are going to grind you into the ground. You check out all the times in the last 20 years that white racists have been in court, or a white racist who has attempted to defend some white woman on the street from some nigger or another crazy-ass, drug-soaked white person, and they end up testifying against you. You used obsessive force, or you shouldn't have got involved. It wasn't your business. They end up testifying against you in court. Now, I've told you before, in my civil case in Portland, Oregon, it was almost all white. And only one white man voted not guilty or not responsible. If I'd had one more white person on a jury to say that, I would have walked out of there and not lost my house and so forth. But they didn't, and they won't. In L.A., when I was being tried on a felony, they polled the jury at the end. I've told you this before. And every one of the non-whites voted for me. Get that. Niggers, Mexicans, and chinks were on that jury. They voted for me. Three white women on that jury voted against me. Beautiful white women, you know. Not half-breeds. These are Aryan women voted against me. So you got to understand that. And that's what Craig Cobb is going to be facing if he goes to trial. I have confidence in very, very few people anymore. Very few people. But if he goes to trial, he's going to get an all-white jury. Maybe they'll throw an Indian in. They got an Indian tribe just down the road. They might even find one nigger. But I've always told my attorneys, we don't want an all-white jury. I don't want an all-white jury. I want working class type non-whites on that jury. People who know how the cops operate on the street. They know how crooked the government is. They're more intuitive about crooked government than a white conservative Republican. You don't want retired military people. You don't want retired civil servants on a jury. You don't want non-white domestics like a Negro woman that works for rich people. You don't want one of those on the jury. Now, but most of these stupid attorneys that defend our kind of people are saying, well, if we can just get a lot of white people on a jury, you'll be all right. Well, that's bullshit, and don't let them do that if you're ever in that situation. Demand that they pick out people, like I said. The worst are retired civil servants and retired military, any Republican. I'd rather put a down-and-out street nigger in tattered and smelly clothes on a jury than have one of those people on. Because a lot of those people, they got some common sense. I have to give them credit for that. They've been kicked around by the cops. They've been kicked around by the system. They know the system's rotten. So they hate them worse than they hate you sometimes. So, anyhow, I like this guy. I think we should keep an eye on this guy and see what else he has to say. I didn't get the name, but I'll get it. But anyhow. But, yeah, women want to demand equality. That was what it was all about, right? They still are yelling about equality. Well, you know, like he said, if you're going to join the military, well, get out front. Just like the homosexuals come out of the club. We want the military. Okay. There's the front. There's the front right there. Get there. You're a woman, you want to be in a big deal, and, you know, where's the front? There's the front. Get in the goddamn front right beside the men, and you men out there, if you're in combat, I know it would be extremely hard to do, but you got to not fall sucker to this chivalrous situation. Well, otherwise, you should be have a little more chivalry towards the enemy. I mean, they're not the enemy, these Iraqi women and Afghanistan women and children that you're blowing away. How come you don't have any chivalry towards them? That's a good question, isn't it? I watched a Criterion film last evening on the dropping of the bombs on this one was on the last bomb on Nagasaki. There's only one film I've seen that was better, and it was called Black Rain, about all the people who died after the explosion. But anyhow, this was a really good film. Good in a way, it really makes you think. And here was a peaceful people living and, you know, going to school, going to work, everything. And it was the days just leading up. They'd already dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, but this was Nagasaki. Now, for all you Jesus, baby Jesus lovers out there, Nagasaki was almost all Catholic. Yeah, they weren't even Buddhist or Shinto. They were Catholics. And so leading up to this, and then the bomb drops and wipes out Nagasaki and all the personal tragedy that went with it. It makes you so ashamed of that you've ever given allegiance to this country or government. Can't give allegiance to the country. Anyhow, country's just country. I can give allegiance to the white race as long as they do right. But if they don't do right, I don't give allegiance to them either. So anyhow, I forget the name of the film right now. If you want it, I'll get it for you. But anyhow, it's sickening. It is just absolutely sickening. And we've been doing it ever since. You know, they didn't need to drop those bombs on Japan. They wanted to try them out. That's how rotten those people are. They wanted to try them out on Germany first. But the war ran down in Germany before they got the chance. They didn't have the bombs ready. Or they were going to drop them right on Germany. Just think of the catastrophe, even more catastrophe that would be. Even though I sympathize with the Japanese, I mean, dropping atomic bombs in the heart of Germany? Hitler's problem was he was a little bit too soft. If you look at it from a military angle, he had sarin gas, and he had a lot of other stuff that he could have used on the Russian army, but he didn't. Now, you can maybe come up with an excuse why he didn't, but he had it available. He could have used it and wiped them out by the thousands, but he didn't. But Morgenthau and those bastards in Washington and Roosevelt, they were prepared. They wanted to depopulate Germany or turn it into just a big farm, agricultural area. Wipe out everything of business or manufacturing, everything, and drop those atomic bombs on Germany. That's what they were going to do. But they ran out of time, so they said, well, we got to see whether these things work and see how many people it kills, and we got to study this, so we'll drop them on those dirty Japs. I've been to that site where the bombs exploded. I've been there, been all over that. And boy, I'll tell you, it's sickening. It is sickening. So have sympathy for those who have sympathy for you. Have sympathy for those who stick with you. And it's no good to say we're for the white race anymore. We're only for the percentage of the white race that knows the score and is willing to do something about it. And if they get cowardly, then drop them from your association completely. Otherwise, you'll go down with them. Like this guy Dutton called me on the telephone, wanted to know why I was mad at him. You want to know why I was angry with him? Oh, I just pled out and to 7 felony charges, and I'm going to testify against Craig Cobb. But I'm not going to hurt him. I'm just going to tell the truth. Why are you mad at me? Why are you mad at me? I slammed down the phone, and that was that. Well, that's it for today. I hope we've offended enough people. I have to have a quota, you know. Everybody's got a quota. I'll be back with you tomorrow on Tears Day. That's right. And in the meantime, 5 words. If you don't use them, don't bitch to me.
There's a Vietnam vet with a cardboard sign sitting there by the left turn line. Flag on his wheelchair flapping in the breeze. One leg missing and both hands free. No one's paying much mind to him. The VA budget's just stretched so thin. And now there's more coming back from the Mideast war. We can't make it here anymore. And that big old building was a textile mill. It fed our kids and it paid our bills. But they turned us out and they closed the doors. We can't make it here anymore. See those pallets piled up on the loading dock. They're just gonna sit there till they rot. Cause there's nothing to ship, nothing to pack. Just busted concrete and rusted tracks. Empty storefronts around the square. There's a needle in the gutter and glass everywhere. You don't come down here unless you're looking to score. We can't make it here anymore. The bar's still open, but man, it's slow. The tip jar's light and the register's low. The bartender don't have much to say. The regular crowd's getting thinner each day. Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof. Won't pay for a drink if you gotta have proof. Try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore. There's a high school girl with a bourgeois dream, just like the pictures in the magazine she found on the floor of the laundromat. A woman with kids can forget all that. If she comes up pregnant, what'll she do? Forget the career, forget about school. Can she live on faith, live on hope, high on Jesus and hooked on dope? When it's way too late to just say no, you can't make it here anymore. Should I hate a people for the shade of their skin or the shape of their eyes? Yeah, right. Now I'm stocking shirts in the Walmart store, just like the ones we made before. Except this one came from Singapore. I guess we can't make it here anymore. Should I hate a people for the shade of their skin or the shape of their eyes or the shape I'm in? Should I hate them for having our jobs today? No, I hate the men sent the jobs away. I can see them all now. They haunt my dreams, all lily white and squeaky clean. They've never known want, they'll never know need. Their shit don't stink and their kids won't bleed. Their kids won't bleed in their damn little war. And we can't make it here anymore. We'll work for food, we'll die for oil, we'll kill for power. To us the spoiled, the billionaires get to pay less tax. The working poor get to fall through the cracks. So let them eat jelly beans, let them eat cake, let them eat shit. Whatever it takes, they can join the Air Force or join the Corps if they can't make it here anymore. That's how it is. That's what we got, if the president wants to admit it or not. You can read it in the paper, read it on the wall, hear it on the wind if you're listening at all. Get out of that limo and look us in the eye. Call us on a cell phone, tell us all why. In Dayton, Ohio, Portland, Maine, or a cotton gin out on the ground. great high plains is done closed down, along with the school and the hospital and the swimming pool. Dust devils dance in the noonday heat, and there's rats in the alley and trash in the street. Gang graffiti on a boxcar door. You can't make it here anymore.